Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm and author of Investing Simplified, the book. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual professional advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated. Investing Simplified is the longest-running live financial show in America, with a financial advisor, an estate planning attorney, and a CPA to answer your questions for free, and is broadcast live from Portland, Oregon on affiliated stations throughout the Pacific Northwest. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck with a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com. Or you can call him right now at 503-417-9595. That's 503-417-9595. Or for our long distance and podcast listeners, you can call toll free at 877-733-1011. That's 877-733-1011. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
Well, welcome to Investing Simplified. This is the opportunity for you to pick up the phone, give us a call, and we can answer any question you may have, I hope. Anyway, if we can't, we will find the answer.
Well, Chuck, let me qualify that. We can actually answer any question they ask. Whether the answer is worth listening to, well, you know.
Well, and that was the attorney speaking. So I guess, hey, folks, we're wide open.
We're ready.
Give us a call.
We're ready for anything.
In studio with me is Carl Jepson with the Carl Jepson Law Firm.
And good morning.
Good morning. And Kevin Steggy with the Baker Coastal CPA Firm.
Good morning.
Back from his world trip.
It was an adventure.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
So I got a question.
Yeah.
Who's going to win the World Series?
Dodgers.
Oh.
Well, who do you think?
I don't know, but you said you could answer our questions.
Well, so. I can. Dodgers play the Cubs, and I hope the Dodgers beat the Cubs like a drum. And the Yankees are playing the Astros, and I picked the Astros. They won last night, so they're up one game already. I think it's going to be the Astros and the Dodgers, and the Dodgers prevail.
Okay.
I'm not saying that because I'm a bitter Seattle Mariner fan. And the Astros won our division, and I hate them, but that's, I don't know. I don't hate them, but I admire some of their players. They got some great athletes on that team.
I seem to have this affinity for one state. So I got the Bills and the football thing, and I guess I'm going to have to go with New York.
What?
Yeah. A Yankee?
Yep. Well, I always, you know, Yogi Berra was always a guy that I liked a lot. I was a catcher.
You didn't mean Yogi Berra?
No.
Okay. No. I just want to make sure that we had a difference there between Yogi Berra and Yogi Bear.
Yogi the Bear.
Yeah, the Bear. Yeah. Well, listen, pick up the phone, give us a call. I got to get the numbers, guys. Where's the number?
Let's see, 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011. Preferably, we would like your questions to be based around financial advice, legal or tax.
Oh, wow. Whoa, is he getting technical? Hey, listen, I promised at the end of last show that I was going to talk about something that this past week I've been on the road living out of a suitcase. And for people who do that, I admire what you do. It's nothing that I would like to do, but doing it for a short period of time, it's not bad. But I was introduced to a service and I've been checking it out for some time. And I went to a meeting of a few independent registered investment advisors throughout the country who were invited to a special meeting with a guy who had put together a proprietary service or product, if you will, that's available in the investment world. And I truly believe this technology is going to revolutionize the way you look at your portfolio from going forward. We all know, and if you don't know, 85% of all trades in the stock market are done by computer. Only 15% are actually done manually. So they're all done by triggering effects that trigger. And for that reason, We have looked at some programs that are available for auto trading and doing trading that are done electronically. And I got news for you. Artificial intelligence is here, and it's here to stay. We have it in our cars. I mean, I have a Ford Explorer. You have an Escape. Do you have all the bells and whistles on the I got all electronic. Basically, my car could drive itself. I mean, if I fall asleep at the wheel, it's gonna hit the brakes. It's gonna stop or pull me off the side. Technology is here to have that. We are not that far away from a self-driving car. I mean, it's just a matter of time. In fact, Tesla has tested their cars numerous times. One of their high-end S models can actually you can go to the Oregon coast, drive from the coast of Portland to Central Oregon, and not even touch the steering wheel. Now think about it, folks. It's here, and it's going to get more and more. And we have that technology now in the market, and I'm going to disclose this in a little bit. So I'm giving a little tease here. So hang on. We've got some callers on the line, though, and I think we want to take those calls because that's what this show is all about. Mary's got a question about a 401k, IRA, and Medicare. Wow. Okay, Mary, are you there?
Yes. So if you're doing, quote-unquote, all the right things with your 401k, your Roth IRA, and your IRA, and you've seen your parent go through all of Medicare because it's only good for 100 days, how do you know at age 51 what I should be investing in to do that long-term care insurance? Like, what do you look for?
Well, okay, what you're really asking is you're doing your investing and stuff, but one of the things you want to provide is coverage and protection for what Medicare doesn't pay.
Right.
Now, let's clarify something here. Medicare is not long-term care.
Right.
Okay, so we're talking two totally different things. So anybody that has Medicare, and I have a Medicare specialist come on every once in a while, Karen Kane, and she's right next door to me. And if you have a question, certainly call my office, and I'll give you Karen's number, and you can call her. But what I think you're asking about is the long-term care aspect, not the Medicare, because the Medicare, normally you have a Medicare supplement, and Medicare takes care of about 80%. The other 20% is covered by the Medicare supplement.
Okay.
So
all
you're
I know
talking
is my,
about long
my dad had two strokes and it ran out after 100 days.
Well, that's the long-term care part of it. The residential care, you get 100 days.
Yep.
And a lot of times someone will go into the hospital and Medicare will pay for everything, and then they go to a nursing home for rehabilitation, and they go in there that's where they get their 100 days. But if you're going to be one of those unfortunate people who have to stay in some kind of care facility forever, then once the 100 days is up, you're done.
Yeah, Medicare is not a long-term care policy. And that's why we recommend that, you know, we work with a gentleman by the name of Rick Demick, who is a long-term care specialist. And I have clients who are concerned, and if you contact my office, I'll give you his number. And you can ask him any question about long-term care. He's a long-term care expert, and a lot of my clients... I think in our industry, you have to really know what you're doing. And a lot of people have paid a lot of money buying long-term care policies that don't cover what they think is they're going to get covered for. So I think you want to talk to somebody, and I am not that expert, somebody who's an expert in the long-term care field. And absolutely, I think right now at your age, I bought my long-term care when I was 55, and it's way lower than I could pay now, I'll tell you.
Okay. But,
yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Absolutely. Good questions. We've got Connie, who's got a tax question on inheritance.
Hi there. How are you today?
Good. How about you?
I'm pretty good. So I don't know if you can answer this, but I thought I'd give it a shot. My mother passed away a few years ago, and she left her home to her four children. I'm one of them. And actually, my older sister and my older brother have both passed away since then. My older sister provided for her two sons to receive her share of that home inheritance. And my brother failed to do that for his wife before he passed away. So we still, those of us who are on the deed now, want to still give our sister-in-law her share. So my question is, would it still be considered if we were to say for, you know, just ease of mathematics right now, let's say the house was worth $200,000. We each got, my sister and I, my younger sister and I each got 25% of that. My sister's older sister that passed away, her sons would get each, I guess, an eighth. And then my sister-in-law would get a quarter. So the rest of us that, like I say, that are still provided for on the inheritance by my mother would give my sister-in-law a check for her share. But would she have to pay a lot of tax on that? And I've always heard that inheritance, you don't have to pay tax on it.
Well,
but if we were to cut her a check, does she have to pay tax?
Well, I think there's a short answer. It sounds to me like your mother's estate was under $1 million.
Yes.
Okay. Then there will be no inheritance tax here in Oregon and no federal inheritance tax.
I live in Washington, but
okay. Well, even better. You get $2 million in Washington, so you're okay. Even better off that way. The rest of that, if what you're concerned with, you know, one of the things I can see happening though is, was this will probated?
Say it again.
Was your mother's will probated?
I don't even understand what that question means. I don't know what probate means.
Did she have a will?
Did she have a will?
Yes, she did.
Okay. And it wasn't a living trust. It was a will.
It was a will.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And did you have to go to court to transfer?
No.
No? Well, what you're going to find if you go to sell that house, you can't until you go through a probate process. And that's, the will doesn't allow people to transfer title. That's what probate is for. I know it sounds unfair, but it is, and it's a very common misunderstanding of how the probate system works, that people often think that a will, you know, if the will says it's mine and I can sell it. But especially with regard to real property, there's no real person who has the legal title until the probate declares so. Now, fortunately,
maybe I'm mistaken because my younger sister told me that our names are already on the deed of the home.
Well, and maybe your mom did it before she did the will. Maybe she just
I don't know.
If that was the case, then you're still on the. If she did, and that's not a uncommon thing either, where folks put their children or a child as a title holder to the property by executing a deed. So if that's the case, then that would work. Mm-hmm. However, the problem that you have, the big problem that you have with a group of mutual tenants, co-tenants, we would call them, is that you have to somehow get a complete consensus before you can sell the house. So if one person wanted to sell it, the other one didn't, you've got a real hard problem there.
Well, we're all on the same page. We want to sell it, but we're allowing her will to be executed in regards to my stepfather, who lived there at the same time and is still living, and she provided the provision was that he could live there as long as he could or wanted to, and he's still alive and still living there. So, you know, at some point, he's in his early 90s, and he actually just went into a rehab center, so we're not sure what his future will be at this moment, but, you know, he's been living there for 4 years, and we are all on the same page that we want that for him, because that's what our mom wanted, and then when he no longer can live there anymore or wants to, then we'll put the house up for sale.
I think that's fine, and it doesn't sound to me like you would have a tax problem on it, except the possibility of a capital gain. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to leave that for Kevin because I realize there's some other rules that apply to that.
The concern is when did it become in the kids' name?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then because home prices have had dramatic increases the last 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. so it's very conceivable you could have a capital gain on that.
Especially if your names were put on many years ago.
Yeah.
It could be a problem. You know, to address your initial question about your brother who passed away, and you're mm-hmm. saying that, you know, just because he passed away, his estate is still a 25% owner.
Exactly.
And so his estate has to, you know, you don't know where your brother's estate's assets are going. It conceivably is going to his wife, surviving spouse, but that's something that his estate has to take care of. And whoever's the PR of his estate is the one who's going to step in and make the decisions of whether his 25% should be sold or not.
And, well, he had no will, and he really had nothing, material assets to speak of. So,
well, did he have any children?
He has three children
and a wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, then they're entitled to his share.
Right. Right. So, even though his name is on the deed and he's no longer living, we just didn't know that his wife would automatically get that. We just thought we'd have to cut her a check or something, each of us, like her share.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's what I was going to say. You probably can do that. Technically, that's not the way you'd want to do it. But as long as everybody's on the same page, you know, you might be able to do that. You got a little bit more complicated thing, because without seeing the deed and everything, I don't know how that was done. And there are various things that could have been done in the deed to make that a different answer. But I mean, I think you're on the right track for the most part. But I do think that you should, see a local lawyer in Washington to deal with that. I'm a Washington lawyer. I don't do as much work in Washington as I do in Oregon. But I do know that there are differences in deeds from here and there, and there are differences in probate from here and there. Although. You know, it sounds like you might be able to get away without a probate and all of that stuff, but the main thing is you're going to have to figure out how that title passes. So,
yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your time this morning.
Great. Thanks for the call, Connie.
Thanks for the help. Bye-bye.
You bet. You know, that's what this show's all about. Call in if you got a question, something keeping you up at night, give us a call. I do want to point out, I mentioned to you that I was going to have a special announcement about something that I think could totally revolutionize how we invest. And I'm going to give you this website that you can go to, and you can check it out yourself. It's called Asset Lock. It's protect your tomorrow today. And we have this service available that we can add to any 401k or any investment account that you have. We can add this to your account. Right now, it's a free service. You can get it at it for free. Free's a good price, as Tom Peterson always said. And
too.
Yeah. And you can check out Asset Lock, ASSETLOCK Lock. And I got to tell you, this program to me is one of the things. And I'll tell you, I'm going to just read a quick thing here. Asset Lock is a tracking software used to monitor the performance of a client's portfolio and to predetermine the amount of downside the client is willing to tolerate. It is not an actual stop order and will not automatically sell the individual securities in the portfolio. Therefore, the asset lock value is a reference point to encourage conversation between the advisor, firm, and the client to determine if the client's portfolio should remain unchanged. Reset the asset lock percentage by reallocating to a different risk portfolio. Liquidate part of the portfolio or opt out, either way. But the point is, this is an actual way for an advisor to stay in touch with you or to somebody to talk to when the market has a fundamental shift. And I could tell you the biggest complaint in our industry that people come in and see me and say, you know, my advisor never called me. Never told me the markets were, and when I called my advisor, he said, oh, hold on. I mean, it might be 5.5 to 7 years, but hold on, we will get back. Well, yeah, you do get back, but it's 5.5 to 7 years. Wouldn't it be nice to get a little alarm clock that says, hey, the markets are starting to go the other direction. It's maybe time to reconsider how much risk tolerance you have. Anyway, I think this is going to revolutionize the market, and I'm going to be having the inventor of this particular product come to Portland, Oregon. We're going to be doing meetings, open meetings that you, the investors, can come in and ask questions about it, because I really believe it's going to revolutionize the industry. And I've been doing this for 40-some-odd years, and I can tell you this is the coolest thing I've ever seen. And I am totally amazed with it. We're going to come right back with Carl's comments. If you've got a question, pick up the phone. What are the phone numbers, Kevin?
They are 503-417-9595 or 877-733-1011.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Price Financial Group, Wealth Management.
Hi, I'm Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney and co-host of the radio program Investing Simplified. I recently left the Warren Allen Law Firm to open my own office. Professional and personable service have always been the hallmarks of my practice. I believe that this move will allow me to spend more time with my clients. For more than 37 years, it has been my privilege to assist clients with practical estate planning with wills, trusts, powers of attorney, advance directives, and other documents so that they may have peace of mind knowing that their affairs are in order. When probate becomes necessary, emotions of family members may become fragile. Having an experienced attorney that can empathize with what the client is going through makes the process much easier. My new office is conveniently located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 101, just across from Mall 205, and my phone number is 971-229-0585. That's 971-229-0585.
Got a legal question? Coming up is Carl Jepsen, estate planning attorney, with Carl's Comments. You can call Carl now at 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's Carl Jepsen.
Well, welcome back to Investing Simplified. This is the time for Carl's Comments, and I was told that that our tax experts, which isn't me, we're going to be talking about the possible ramifications of the so-called tax bill that may or may not be in Congress at the moment. Anyway, one of the things that they were talking about, though, in that bill, in the federal bill, was the elimination of the estate tax. And they've talked about that before, so I didn't get jazzed up too much. And likewise, it's every now and then you hear about it in Oregon that they're going to do away with the estate tax. And that's never happened either.
You know, I think about 9 or 10 years ago, you and I had a bet on that.
We did. And I think I lost that
one.
Yes, you did. I think we did. Yeah.
Yes.
So anyway, so henceforth, I'm betting on the estate tax. But and I always wonder because, you know, one of the things that would do, that would certainly change the land, landmark for lawyers and accountants regarding estate planning for people who had more than $1 million, because that would greatly simplify most of the toots and whistles that you find in estate planning, the things that contribute to the, you know, 50-page trust
couldn't it be a boondoggle for the states, because then Oregon, if they remove the federal estate tax, then Oregon could come back and say, you know what? Yeah. We've always said if you got over $1 million, you ought to pay more. So now we're going to raise it from 20 to 40.
I guess you could, but I'm guessing, I mean, that wouldn't be very attractive to people moving here to Oregon.
No, but it's not very attractive at 20 even.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
It could be a revenue. Well, that's why they keep it. I mean, that's why the states keep it. It's a revenue producer. And I said to myself, well, yeah, but I've always heard that it's not very much, you know, that what they actually collect for all of this fol-de-rol and having to go through these audits and stuff with the, you know, and so, I know.
So how much is it?
Well, that's just exactly my point.
Oh, see, I knew I was going to ask that question. That's the whole point.
I stepped into that one, Chuck.
Yeah. I just thought we'd get you up to speed here.
You threw that big softball up there. I just smacked it right out of the park.
I'm glad you asked that one. Actually, how much of a percentage of the total revenue of the United States do you think comes from estate tax?
How much of the entire revenue?
As a percentage, how much of the total revenue of the United States?
Oh, I'm going to say less than 0.1%.
Whoa. I'll say 1%.
0.6%.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Wait a second.
We have a winner.
You said less than 0.1%.
You went over. I went under. It's the over-under rule.
and ironically, then
actually, right down the middle.
The other sources of income, this is the interesting thing, too, and I didn't realize this. Excise tax, whatever that is, 3.1%. Corporate tax, 10.6%. Now, how about that? So they're really hurting. They pay 10% of the bill for the United States. Social Security insurance taxes, or social insurance taxes is what they call it, 33.9%. And guess what? The big winner, individual income tax, 46.2%. So we the people, get to pay 46.2% of all of the government spending.
Manage it so well.
How does that do? Now, in Oregon's a little different. Oregon, the estate tax is less than 2%. The of all of the total. And business income, 7.6. Corporate tax, 6.6. And 35% for property taxes. Mm-hmm. Motor vehicle taxes are a little bit. And income tax is of course, the big one. That's like, let's see, what is income tax? Again. The it's one, like 35%. Like, 34%. Say, yeah.
Upper 30s.
Yeah. So I guess I don't get really excited when I hear about the businesses getting a cut or anything like that, because it seems to me that maybe they have high rates and things, but somehow that doesn't translate to them paying the biggest part of the bill.
Well, you know, my two thoughts on this are, number one, when somebody does have a sizable estate here in Oregon, if you do the appropriate planning, if you have, you know, $2 million or less, which, I mean, you don't have a ton of people over 2 million, but there's more and more getting there. Mm-hmm. But if you do things properly with a little bit of pre-planning, mm-hmm. you should be able to not pay any Oregon estate tax for a married couple. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, I mean, you
it's
should
not
be,
so bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But on the other hand, if the feds get rid of an estate tax, Oregon is going to have to create for this less than 2% of their income, they're going to have to create a whole code, because Oregon starts with federal.
That's right.
Not taxable income, but federal, your federal gross estate. Mm-hmm. And so if the federal law is gone, mm-hmm. Oregon's going to have to create, well, what's a gross estate? Now, they're going to have to come up with their whole new section of code. And at that point, you can imagine what our folks down in Salem, they're going to come up with just a comprehensive tax code, I'm sure. And it's going to work for
everybody. That just means they'll have to raise the tax,
or they'll say, well, we'll just do it on the basis of the tax code as it existed in 2016,
something like that. Yeah,
we've got a caller on the line. Jane's got a question about an IRA. Jane, are you there?
Oh yeah, thank you, Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question I've never heard asked, and I only thought of it a couple weeks ago. I'm 61. I'm retired. I haven't had any income for the last couple of years, so I haven't paid any taxes. At age 70 and a half, I have to start taking minimum distributions, right?
Correct.
And so I was thinking, I don't need it right now, but shouldn't I? If I took out a little at a time now,
oh, Jane,
stuck it in the bank.
I'm glad you must not be a regular listener, because Sam and I have talked about this a lot. We highly recommend, if somebody in your situation, you pull the max out you can right now that you're not paying it, so you don't pay any tax. Just pull it out until you start paying tax, and then don't worry about it, and then pull it out again next year. You've got 9 years now to suck that money out and get it tax-free.
Yeah, thank you. That's what I was thinking, and nobody's...
I didn't understand
how you've said it, but...
Are you new to our show?
Sort of.
Okay, we've been talking about... Kevin and I, we've been talking about this for years. And absolutely, this is one of the biggest mistakes people make in retirement planning. When you get into your 60s... Yeah, when you get into 60s and you are in a situation like you are, it is a golden opportunity to pull that money out of your retirement plan, because you're over 59 and a half.
Right.
So you have no more 10% penalty.
Right.
And you start pulling that money out as much as you can without paying any tax.
Yeah, and then just stick it in another account, but it's out of the IRA.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And you can always, even if you do pay a little tax, you can always pull it out and do a Roth conversion. Then it's never going to be taxable.
Yeah, but that would assume it's going to earn something. Right now, it's just sitting in the bank.
Well, hopefully it's going to earn something, yeah. You don't want to invest money if it's not earning money.
Yeah,
well,
no.
Well, and especially in these years before you start taking Social Security, it's a good time to do that. Don't waste any deductions on your tax return when you have a 401k or an IRA. Once you start taking Social Security, when you pull money out, that becomes part of the calculation to determine how much of your Social Security is taxable. And so you have to your window narrows when you start taking Social Security.
Yeah, because that income is going to go on top the Social Security withdrawal.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah, or receipt, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, great, yeah.
Yeah, great
That's
question,
what I was thinking,
Jane.
And I really hadn't heard it asked the way I just asked it, so.
Well, you were thinking.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, you were thinking exactly the right way.
Great. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. You know, that's what's great about our show. I mean, people call in and ask questions. Kevin, that's something you and I have been talking about for years. And It's a really simple thing, but most people don't do it. And I don't know why, but they just don't do it.
Or you know, sometimes you have a windfall of a loss, if you will, in a particular year. Don't let those deductions go to waste. If something's different, don't leave deductions on the table.
Yeah, if you can have something you can liquidate and take a big capital gain, offset it, and pay no tax, free is a good price, folks.
As the famous tax man Kenny Rogers once said, know when to hold them and know when to fold them.
That's right.
Yeah. And he lost that one, though, didn't he?
Well, I guess so.
Yeah. Well, listen, back to Carl's comments.
I'm done.
You're done?
That's it.
Well, listen, if that's all I know today. And we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the tax investigator. You're listening to Investing Simplified. Pick up the phone, 503-417-9595. Toll free, 877-733-1011. I guarantee out of those calls we've had, I guarantee you they've helped somebody who's sitting there listening to this show, having a cup of coffee, and probably thinking, man, I could have asked that question because it applies to my life. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Colson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercolson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercolson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Colson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask Kevin Stege, CPA and shareholder of the Baker Colson CPA firm, that tax question that's been keeping you up at night. You can call Kevin 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the CPA with the tax answers, Kevin Stege.
Welcome back to Investing Simplified, and it's good to be back and in studio with my two compadres, amigos. So let's get right into it. Let's talk about the proposed tax changes, and here's what we're going to talk about.
Hallelujah.
Nothing.
Yeah, because until it becomes law, it's all suspect.
Exactly, and you know, there's a lot of talk and conjecture that we talk about behind closed doors at Baker & Colson with you guys and so on and so forth. But until any of this is even, there's a remote idea of what's actually going to happen. I mean, Trump wants one thing. The Democrats want another thing. The Republicans don't really know what they want.
It's kind of like Obamacare. The replacement and repeal of Obamacare is a moot point until something's done.
Yeah.
I mean, the tax law right now, you have to, as a taxpayer, you have to go by the tax law that's on the books. And nobody said they're going to be retroactive. Nobody said it's going to get done this year. There is nothing in stone.
Well, and the other thing is nobody's consulted the lobbyists to see what they want and to see what they're willing to buy.
You mean the guys that pay off all the politicians?
That's those guys.
I said a quote on here, Carl, back when you and I first got on the radio, and I can tell you it's true. It's even truer today than it was then. But this is a Chuck Price quote. Show me a poor politician, and I'll show you a first-termer. I'm going to tell you, our politicians are so strife with deals from lobbyists. It is so sickening. If most Americans would really look at their own personal life and then look at the life of the politician, you'd want to hang these guys at noon on Main Street, because every one of them are way richer than you are ever going to be, because you got to sleep at night. I don't know how they sleep at night, but they get more money for more places than Carter has liver pills. And he's got a lot of pills. Speaking about that, this is right down the tax man's alley. John's got a question about pulling money from an IRA. John, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, your question?
The previous caller you had, the lady caller, asked about drawing money from an IRA before the required minimum distribution date. My question is, I am already retired. My wife is about 6 years younger and still working. Does that strategy still apply?
Well, it all depends on your joint income. In her situation, you know, she said she had little to no income. Your wife's income is going to go on your tax return. And so if you're up in the high tax bracket, then no, that strategy does not apply. The benefit of deferring income into a retirement account is theoretically pulling it out when you're in a lower tax bracket. And so if you're in a high tax bracket now, obviously you'll want to defer recognizing income.
And John, the taxation part of it right now, depending on your tax bracket, and I would work with a professional like Kevin, somebody who understands taxes, but you can also weigh it because there is a possibility that if you both have good longevity, you could accelerate Roth conversions and do Roth conversions and move that money into tax-free, particularly if one of you or both of you are going to have a high pension benefit, say at 70, take your Social Security and your pension is going to go up. You're going to be in a real high bracket at that time. It might be beneficial to do Roth conversions now.
Awesome. All right. Thank you.
You bet.
Oh, very good call, John. Yes. Yep. Very specific to each person's tax situation.
Okay. Lincoln's on the line. He's got a question about how to invest money short term.
About 2 to 3 years, I'm going to be having about $150,000 to invest, and I want to know what are some of the things that I should be looking for to do with that money.
Okay, you don't have the money for 2 or 3 years.
I will have the money for about 2 or 3 years, and then after that time, I'm going to be building a house with that money. So okay. I need to know how to invest it for.
Okay, well, I can tell you unequivocally. Here's what you need to do. If you lost any part of that money, would it cause a problem on building your house?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, then the answer is really clear. You need to take that money, put it in an FDIC insured savings account. You're not going to make much money, but that the purpose isn't to make money. The purpose is to preserve the principal.
Okay.
Okay. That's your best bet.
All right. Thank you very much.
You bet. Thank you.
No bonds, no annuities, no...
They're not guaranteed.
Okay.
Yeah, try buying an annuity for 2 years or 3 years, guaranteed. I don't know where they're at.
Okay.
Mike's got a question. How many people in Oregon work for the government? Too many.
And how many people are on pension at every level of government?
Oh, listen, if you want a nightmare, if you really want a nightmare about the national debt, the national debt doesn't take into consideration all the bad pension plans out there for the government employees, not to mention each individual state of Oregon, California. I mean, you talk about a state that's bankrupt. California, they're talking about succeeding. It might be a big advantage to the rest of us other states. If California did succeed, then we don't got to pay off all their bad debts.
Yeah. So in the state of Oregon, we've only got 4 million people, and of course, some of them don't work, right? The children don't work. So I was wondering how many people that are employed at all levels of government that get taxpayer pay and taxpayer pension. How many people are the small guys like me helping to support? What's the number?
Well, I don't know that off my top of my head. We'd have to check it out. We could report back to you next week and tell you.
That would be wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have any idea, but I know it's too many.
Oh, it's got to be in the hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, I know it's too many. So, yeah. We the taxpayers are going to pay for that. No question about it.
So, if California is bankrupt, how long can this exist before it actually collapses?
I don't know. You know, we've done some pretty funny things with money in America. I think it's called funny money.
Yeah,
and that's why we had QE. QE.
Yeah, 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah, yeah. What that really is, they call it easing the money, but what it's really called is printing money you don't have.
I know.
And listen, here's the bad news. I mean, well, are the good
news.
Bad news. It could be good news, it could be bad news. We're the best of the worst. America is the best financially of all the other countries out there. And people talk about all these little countries that have this and have that. Most of them are so dang far in debt that a heavy wind would take them out, you know? So it's not a pretty picture globally of the debt that's looming out there.
So what do you think would happen if America loses its reserve dollar status?
Well, first of all, that's not going to happen because we're the best of the worst. Look, here's the reality. When the crap hits the fan, you know, like in a worldwide recession, where does everybody go to put their money? They come to America. You know, we may be bad. I mean, in a lot of ways, we don't do things the correct way. But in the gist of things, we are the best of the worst. I mean, we are the best place in the world. And I don't care. You talk to any place in Europe, Asia, any of those countries. You know, Japan has been so far down, it's just never going to probably get up. But the fact is, their people still invest and buy bonds in America and put their money in America. So I believe that we're going to always be the place where people are going to come. For one thing, we got freedom. Most places don't. People don't realize in a lot of places in Europe, you can't own a home. You can't be a property owner. You can't go out and start a business if you want.
You know? Where in Europe is you can't own a home?
When I say can't own a home, I'm talking about the average worker. I'll give you a good example. Italy. In Italy, unless you are filthy rich or you are tied to the government, you're not going to be able to buy a home. And I know this because when we went over there and I met a guy who was actually a driver for us, took us around to some spots and stuff. Him and his wife were saving every dime they could. He speaks five languages. They were saving everything they could because they want to move to America to buy a home. Because they can never, he said, we could never buy a home in Italy. Ever. And yet this guy was a sharp young guy, and I thought, boy, this guy's got a wife and two kids, and he said, there's just no way we could buy a home here. But he said, if I could get to America, and I could go to America, I could actually own my own home. And that was his dream in life. This guy's about 32 years old.
I wonder if he moved to Oregon, if he would change his mind.
Well, you know what? Things aren't the best here, but you know what? Because compared to the rest of the world, we're in heaven. I really mean that. I've been all over. There's no other place I'd want to be than here.
About property tax, when you pay property tax at the end of the year, aren't you paying a tax on an unrealized profit?
Well, I just decided I'm not going to pay it. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm just joking out there. Listen, I think property tax, my personal belief on property tax is that property tax is a very high insurance on your own property. And it never goes down. It only goes up. And I really think there's got to be a better way to fund fire and schools and those kind of services other than property tax, particularly for America because we're getting older. There are many, many seniors in America that are paying more in property tax than they paid in mortgage payments.
Yes.
I mean, it's a common thing. I talk to people virtually every day that say, "Oh my God, I'm paying more in property tax now than I did on my mortgage payments to buy this house." It's insane.
It is insane. So, is that why the success of the reverse mortgage?
Absolutely, that is one of the successes of the reverse mortgage. That's why a lot of people who build up equity in their home. They have to use that home to help supplement their retirement. You know what? I personally, at first, back in the day when they first came out, I thought, this is kind of... But I'll tell you what, I've seen people that we've referred to guys. I don't do them, so I've got no axe to grind on this. I don't make anything off, reverse mortgages, and we don't offer them. I know people who do, and I refer people to them because they're good at what they do. But I think it's a great planning tool for people who didn't save enough, have a home, they sweat it, paid for it, they own it. I think it's a great way to keep them in their house.
Yeah, yes. All right, listen, I really appreciate you letting me stay on the phone.
Absolutely.
And Kevin is my wife's CPA, so I do appreciate
it. Well, you've got a smart wife.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Yes, you do.
Kevin has helped us save thousands of dollars.
Well, he's okay. He's my CPA, too, so I've been waiting for that. But we're going to see. We're going to talk about it. Hey, listen, thank you. Thanks for
the call.
Thanks for that, Kevin. Hey, listen, we got another caller on the line. Peggy's got an IRA question. This is fun today because we're getting a lot of calls, folks. This is what we have fun doing.
Hello, Peggy. Are you there?
Yes, Peggy. This is Peggy. Back to the IRAs, and believe it or not, I've listened to you for years, but I don't think that I was aware that after 59 and a half, you should start drawing out your IRAs.
Well, no, wait a minute. I want to put a little disclaimer here. Kevin and I have to put a disclaimer here, right, Kevin? If it's a tax advantage situation to do it. You shouldn't just automatically do it. It's only if your income is low, much lower than it's going to be when you start taking Social Security and retirement, and you can draw it out tax advantage. That's the key.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So I'm glad you called because we want to clarify that. It's not this tactic is not for everybody.
Okay, I understand the tactic now. So my real question is, what is the percentage that you can tax-free if a person wanted to do it?
Well, basically what I do with my clients is we take a look at what their other income is. We get their Social Security on there. We look at all of their deductions. And then I basically say, okay, what if we take $10,000 out of your IRA and recognize that into income? We run the scenario. We see what the tax hit is. Maybe it's $100 federal and nothing Oregon. In that case, absolutely, you do the $10,000. Then we bump it up to 15. We run the scenario. And, now it's up to $2,500 or something. So at that point, you know how much to take out or not. And, I have the advantage because we have a complicated tax software that I can do that. But that's what I provide with my clients is planning. Planning along those types of...
If you have an accountant, then it's not based on a percentage then.
No, it's all based on your income and your deductions. And
now what it does to your personal income tax.
That's okay. Right, and your tax bracket, what bracket you're in.
Right. Okay, I understand that now. Alrighty, thank you.
Hey, good question. We've got another caller on the line. Shirley's got a question about no-load mutual fund for an IRA.
How do I go about finding the right one?
Well, there are only about 15,000 options out there. So finding the right one is kind of like getting a big dartboard and throwing a dart at the board, having all the names of all the 15,000 mutual funds out there, and maybe you'll pick the right one. If you're a small investor and you're looking to buy no-load funds, the ones I normally recommend are Vanguard, because Vanguard has very low fees. They have some very good funds. In fact, in many of our managed portfolios, we use Vanguard funds because of their low internal cost. So depending on the amount of money you're going to invest, you want to check the track record. And one of the things I teach my clients to do is you can go on Yahoo. Have you ever went on Yahoo Finance?
No.
Okay. Do you get on the computer?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Go to Yahoo Finance and pull up some mutual funds and start checking out mutual funds on Yahoo Finance. You can actually look at the historical record of the fund, how long the fund manager's been there, and look at the actual historical return of the fund. And I always tell people, you know, we had a crash in 2000, March 15th of 2000, that went about 3 years. Took most mutual funds 5.5 years to recover. We had another one in 2008, and again, it took most mutual funds 5.5 years to recover. How far are you to retirement?
I'm in the 40s.
Oh, you got lots of time. Yeah, you got lots of time. So, you can't afford, and you're continuing to invest, right?
Yep.
Okay, very good. Then you could buy a good mutual fund with a long-term track record and just dollar-cost average into that fund. Send them your $5,000 every year, and long-term, over the next 20 years, you'll come out extremely well.
So you think that Vanguard with a load is better than hunting out the no-load one?
No. Vanguard is no-load.
Oh, but that's okay.
Yeah, Vanguard's no-load, and they probably, compared to Fidelity funds, and some people will argue with this, but I can show you the numbers, Vanguard's fees are a lot less than Fidelity's. And so I think Vanguard, if you're looking for low-cost money management, it's tough to beat Vanguard.
Okay. That's what I needed to know.
Okay. Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with Investing Simplified. Probably we got just time for maybe another call or two. 503-417-9595, 877-733-1011.
How often do you have a checkup? Annually? Only when you're not feeling your best? Or are you one who waits until there is an emergency condition? High blood pressure, rapid pulse, or sleepless nights could be the result of your investment portfolio or no estate plan. But there is a specialist ready to offer you a checkup on your financial health.
Paging Dr. Price. Paging Dr. Price.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor and author of Investing Simplified, is offering you a free financial checkup. Whether you're asking for a second opinion, a complete financial physical, or investment stress test, Chuck Price, the financial doctor, can help diagnose your money ailments and prescribe a prudent path towards healthy investments and peace of mind. Call 503-253-3000 to schedule your financial checkup or on the web at pfgwm.com. That's pfgwm.com. You'll feel better.
Investments, tax questions, or legal concerns? Get them all answered now for free. Call Chuck, Kevin, or Carl for your answers. Call 503-417-9595 or toll free at 877-733-1011. Now, here's the Knowledge Trust.
Well, this is your opportunity. You got just a real quick minute here. We got exactly 2 minutes left. And so with that, Kevin, how's somebody get a hold of you?
We are at baker-colson.com, and our phone number is 503-666-5569.
And Carl?
I'm at carljepsonlaw.com, and my telephone number is 971-229-0585.
And you can reach me at 877-50-PRICE or 503-253-3000. And I'm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103. And I did that in a hurry so we could get to David. David's got a question. David, are you there?
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Listen, a Social Security question. I plan on taking it at 66 in 4 months. What happens if, will they consider the amount of, I'm taking a pension as well? Will they take less? Will I get less Social Security if I have a pension on board?
Okay. First of all, is it a government pension?
No, it's a work pension.
Oh, okay. And did you ever work for the railroad or somebody like that?
No.
Okay. The only people that have offsets on Social Security pensions are people who work for the government that never contribute to Social Security. They got an offset. Are people who were in some of the California teachers, one of my clients was a California teacher, but no, should be no effect at all.
Okay, great. Good news.
You bet. Thanks, David.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Right. Well, listen, talk to you next week. Have a great week. And, we still got about 30 seconds. So, listen, don't miss next week. We're gonna come back, and we are gonna talk about a little talking more about the tax code, what we would like to see in it, and I'm also gonna talk a little bit more about Asset Lock. And if you have questions, go to that site, assetlock.com. You go to my website at pfgwm.com. Have a great week.
You can listen to past shows of Investing Simplified or sign up for our free newsletter at www.pfgwm.com. This show was brought to you by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm located at 555 Southeast 99th Avenue, Suite 103, Portland, Oregon, 97216, 503-253-3000, or 877-50-PRICE. Investing Simplified is a registered trademark owned by Price Financial Group Wealth Management Incorporated.
To Investing Simplified.
When you have questions about your health, you go to a doctor, right? But when it comes to your financial health, like what investments will give you the best return, why are you talking to your spouse's cousin Lou? You need Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Chuck Price knows investing is not a one-size-fits-all approach. It's about what's best for your financial health. Sure, investing can be complex, but like your medical doctor, Chuck Price makes the complex simple, so you understand exactly what you're doing and why you're doing it. Sign up for our free newsletter and see our free videos at AskTheFinancialDoctor.com or call 503-253-3000 and make an appointment for a free financial checkup. We'll give you the facts and our honest advice. Then, make your own decision. Nothing against your spouse's cousin Lou, but we've been helping people for over 40 years.
We do Investing Simplified.
Chuck Price, the financial doctor. Call 503-253-3000.